Thank you very much for the opportunity to come, although you didn't have a part in giving me the opportunity. That's Kevin. So I hope that this has been a good experience for you as a congregation, because I have been through some of these myself, not as a pastor, but involved in congregational life, and there are times when the pastor is gone on a sabbatical or interim times that we perhaps recognize a little bit more of what the gifts are that we have among us, and there are opportunities for growth, but I'm sure that you are as well looking forward to Kevin's return as well. I did not know when he contacted me. He and I have had conversations. I serve on the district council, on a district representative from Northern District, and so Kevin and I work together on the conference council for Virginia Conference. And when he asked me about coming to speak, and we were looking at some dates, I did not know that this was the start of Advent. Now, it so happens that as I reflected and prepared for this morning, I think there are, and given the stories that we've heard already this morning, I'm hopeful that while some of my focus and experience has been from the world of sports, that our topic of priorities and purposes will align themselves with what has already been referred to as the true meaning of Christmas. I suppose that I should begin by giving just a very brief piece about the homemade ice cream, because it showed up in the bulletin and my wife and I had a good laugh when I looked at it this morning online to see that. I'm busy enough. I have no reason to do this other than the fact that it came as a whim of my idea, because I love homemade ice cream and it was our tradition of making it. And so I got this crate. I actually don't know how it started other than just getting this idea that it would be fun to hook it up. My father had one that was hooked up to a putt-putt John Deere engine, although it was red, so that wasn't John Deere. That must have been something else. So I thought, well, that's okay, but I don't know much about engines, so let's forget about that. And I said, how about a bicycle? So I gave it to my father-in-law, who's a former Amish boy out of Lancaster County and can design most anything. And he put it together with his wife's bike, so it's an old Schwinn blue bike. And we went from a 6-quart to a 20-quart. And so now I spent July and August at the Harrisonburg Farmers Market making homemade ice cream. So don't ask me why. I have no idea why, other than it's just fun. And when it does become work, I quit. And somebody asked me the other day, I was filling out some paperwork, and they said I needed a profit loss statement on my ice cream business. I said, well, it's $150 income and $145 expenses. Don't put a value on that. I remember very clearly in about the fifth grade, I was sitting in math class, and the teacher handed back papers, the test. Now, do we have any teachers in here? All right. Well, you teachers are all the same. I was too, although I didn't teach math. When you hand tests back, you always walk around the classroom and you put it down on the desk side down so that you other people don't see what you did. So she came around and she put the test down, and naturally I did what everyone did, and I started to turn it up this way, and I saw the big red on the top. So I knew what that meant, and it was the letter that comes right before G. And the number was somewhere, started with a 5. So I knew I was in trouble. Interestingly enough, that experience, when I pulled that up, I immediately kept it underneath. I reached under my desk. Sorry, I'm old, so it was the desk with the little, or the chair with a little rack underneath it. So I pulled that out, and I slid the test in there and closed the book and went home, and no one ever knew that I had a 59 and an F. My parents didn't even know. Now, probably towards the end of the marking period, they may have found out, but at least at that point. Later that afternoon, I was on the basketball court with my team, and we were losing by 1 point. And very near the end of the game, I had the ball, and someone came up and hit me, and I was fouled, and I got to shoot 2 shots. and I missed both of them. I was not able to slide that experience into the textbook so that no one knew. I was left with trying to figure out what that meant for me, the failure of my teammates, letting down my teammates. I had to walk through and learn some of the experience of how the coach would treat me, how my teammates would treat me, how the fans would treat me. It was an experience that I had no way of shoving underneath and not having anyone know about. And as I reflect upon that, I certainly didn't know it at the time, but that started me on the journey that I've been on for the last 40-some years. And that is to say that from my experience in sports, sports was what has given me an opportunity like no other environment for me to learn. I could not slide that experience into the textbook. I had to deal with what that meant for me. And in that process, at the end of high school, I realized that it was in the area of sports that I had learned the most about myself, about the world around me, and about God, and how three of those three interact. Maybe even more than Sunday school. Now, I'm hesitant to say that because there are a few dear old ladies who are rolling over in their grave wondering what I'm saying. But for me, sports gave me the real life situations that shaped me and gave me an opportunity to know myself, to know you people or the world around, and to know God and how those three might intersect. And that's what started me on the journey of working in the world of sports. Because the premise that I start from is to say that no matter what gifts you have, what interests you have, what abilities you have, what talents, whatever it is that you have that you are involved in, the reason God has given you those particular interests, that particular train of life, whatever it is that you're involved in, the reason I believe God has led you in that path is because that is where He wants to meet you. And He wants you to learn about yourself. He wants you to learn about the world around. And He wants you to learn about Him and how those three come together. That's the premise that I start from. So that even though my experiences and my stories will come from the world of sports, because that's what I've been doing my entire life, working in administration of it, the application is for each of us. Each of you, no matter what it is you're involved in. So please don't tune me out because you don't know anything about sports or like sports or aren't sports-minded or anything like that at all. Hopefully there's some parallel we might be able to pull out from in here. So that's how I got started. And when I left high school, I said, you know, for some people, it's sports. For some, it's going to be music. For some, it's teaching. For some, it's nursing. For some, it's a variety of different things. But whatever it is, that's what God has given you so that He has that avenue of meeting you. One other quick story on that. I remember clearly working with a young lady at Lancaster Mennonite High School. Let me just say, after I graduated from high school, I went to Eastern Mennonite College. After that, I taught physical education and health and did some coaching at Locust Grove Mennonite School, which was a K-8 school in Lancaster County. Spent 5 years at Camp Hebron, which is a camp in northern Pennsylvania, and then back at Lancaster Mennonite High School as assistant principal and athletic director for 14 years, and the last 10 I've been here in the Valley at Eastern Mennonite University. I should make one other connection in case you weren't in the Sunday school class. My son Derek and his wife Becky attended here occasionally, or at least visited here. Becky was teaching up here at Shelburne, I believe, and participated some here. I know it was a difficult decision for them, knowing which congregation to plug into when they were here. Derek and Becky are now in Moundridge, Kansas, where he's the associate pastor at Eden Mennonite Church. Sarah is 2 years old, and they just had another daughter, Evelyn, at the end of September. And my wife spent a week with them soon after she was born. My flight is December 12, and I'm going out to spend time with my grandchildren. They won't be able to be in for Christmas, but that's a connection I wanted to make. was a young lady that I was working was when I was athletic director. She was on the high school basketball team. And she had started, played quite a bit, I should say, as a sophomore, and had played quite a bit and started quite a bit as a junior. She was, she also played field hockey, which you people in the Valley don't know anything about, but anyway, it's a fall sport. So she played a fall sport. She was coming into her senior year. She was captain of the team in field hockey. She had a very outstanding year. They went on to the state tournament. Came into basketball season, and she was, again, voted as a captain for the coming year, at the beginning of the year. And as practices went along, she began to understand, or she began to realize that season started, and she was not playing very much. And this was a very difficult experience for her and for quite a number of other people as well, because here's a person who's been elected captain, and she's not even playing. Now, how do you lead if you are not on the floor? How do you lead if you are not the best player? How do you lead from the bench? And I remember numerous conversations with her and her family and the coach. Very obvious to those of us close to the situation that the younger players were getting better. And the younger players were better than she was. But it was a difficult experience to learn how to lead from that particular standpoint. Now, the reason I tell the story partially is because the young lady is my daughter. And so as an athletic director, I was put in a precarious position, but I agreed wholeheartedly with the coach. The part of the story that is most interesting is if you talk to my daughter now, you will recognize that that experience of learning how to lead from a position that most people would not have thought she could lead from is very instrumental in what she is doing as a nurse manager at Lancaster General Hospital in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The rest of the people around her also had to figure this out, because we all know the captain of the team is either the best player, the son or daughter of the coach, or someone who's vocal. And so I share that only to say there's one more experience in which the true purpose of sport I begin to understand. So as I was in the sports world and I used those kinds of examples, over the last 15 years, I've become very concerned about the ways in which what I saw happening was headed in a different direction than what I was thinking about. What I was thinking about was the fact that the reason we're having these sports opportunities is because these young people are learning lessons that they can apply somewhere down here, later on in life, as the experience with my daughter. But what I began to see was families who were spending thousands and thousands of dollars, spending many, many weekends away from their family and their church, and they were chasing something. But it didn't sound to me or seem to me to be the kinds of values that I was thought I had gotten into the industry for. And so I began this journey of saying, what has shifted our priorities? What has shifted the purpose away from what I had experienced? And as I began to research it and study it, I began to recognize the fact that somewhere along the line, the desire for our children to be the best somehow has taken us away from what I thought I had gotten into this particular field of work for. And I began to study that and look at that, and I became more burdened with the idea that we are chasing something that is not going to lead to the fulfillment that we think it is going to when we first got started. And so on this journey, I have tried to look and see what has changed, what has happened. And in the process of that, I have, as I said this morning in the Sunday school hour, thanks to our pastor at the time at Zion Mennonite Church, Clyde Kratz, has very encouraged me and then went through the process of my receiving a special ministerial license from Virginia Conference to go to congregations and speak about this particular integration of faith and sports as we would have it. Because what I saw happening was families were being disrupted, congregations were being disrupted, we were not gaining the types of things coming out of the sports world that I had hoped we would. And it ultimately is ending up in my currently working on a book that hopefully will be published in about a year, some of the findings, some of the things I've done. So that gives the background to where, and some people will say, so let me have a couple disclaimers. First of all, I am not against the issue of sports, okay? I'm not biting the hand that feeds me. I am not anti-sports. I want there to be a balance with it. I also say the disclaimer that my stories will come from sports, but hopefully they are applicable to all of us and to you and your situation. Since I've been in the world of sports, there's people who always ask me the question, so what's your favorite sports scripture? And naturally, there are some that come up right away. You know, the baseball game in Genesis when we got to the big inning. Or the tennis courts when Moses served in Pharaoh's courts. Or, and we could go on. There's more of those. Quite honestly, the ones that everyone thought I would choose, I don't really like either. Running the race to win the prize, I didn't think that's really what sports was about, was winning the prize, et cetera, et cetera. But I found one. And it's our scripture for today, 2 Peter. So I'd like to just work with the scripture a little bit to have you understand where we're coming from and going to. If we go with a premise that I started with, that whatever you're involved in now in your life, parenting, business, education, nurse, business person, whatever it happens to be, if you're in school, you're playing sports, you're an artist, you're a musician, whatever it happens to be, if we understand the reason that you are involved in that, yes, you have gifts, yes, you have talents, yes, you've worked, you've trained yourself, you've got education, you're where you're at, I understand all of that. But the real purpose of what you're doing, in my mind, is to meet God, for God to show you things in that experience. Now, I'm not quite ready to make all the spiritual lessons over lost keys that I prayed for and found, or flat tires, or spilled milk, or anything like that. But when I look back on my life and the experiences I have, I begin to realize God's presence right where I am each day. And this, in my mind, this passage confirms that. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We have everything we need. We don't need to go beyond. We don't need to go to a lot of other places. It's right here. We have everything we need to understand and know God. For this very nature, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance. This list could go on. This is not an exhaustive list. You can add the fruits of the Spirit. You can add any other Christ-like qualities that you'd like to add to this list. But if we have everything we need, right where we're at, right where what we are experiencing is the way in which we can grow in our understanding of God. So we have all of these Christ-like qualities that we're supposed to be adding to our faith. Here is, when you get to verse 8, here is the athletic piece. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Christ or in your knowledge of life. Now, if you don't know anything about sports, let me assure you that the ineffective and unproductive players don't play. They sit the bench. So the question is, just as the athlete has to continue to push and push and push to get better, and to add to this skill, to add to this skill, this mental aspect, to add to this, this. So is my life. So the question is, in my experience, do I have more patience today than I did last year at this time? Do I have more goodness? Do you have more faith? Do you have more godliness? Because if you don't, if I don't, we are going to be left on the sideline. So I would hope that as we think about this, we begin to understand that the real reason we're doing this is so that we can add faithfulness, we can add goodness, we can add self-control. And I could tell you, I won't take the time today, I could tell you story upon story about experiences in which something that happened within this world of sport made an impact later on. I'll share one. Not long ago, I was at a conference of young people, and I was talking about the value of sports and what we can learn from sports. And I gave to them several different situations, scenarios from a sports world that I had seen happen. And then we talked about what were some of the feelings about it and what were this. So this particular scene was a basketball game in which the one team was winning by 2 points. And it was nearing the end of the game, and I won't go into all the details other than to say that the team that was winning had the ball. They were dribbling up. Of course, the other team was going to come try to foul them because they were losing, and they wanted to get the ball back. And just before the foul happened, the official called the player with the ball for traveling, which meant he made a mistake, and therefore the other team got the ball. They proceeded, so there's 1 second to go. They throw the ball in, the guy takes the ball and just throws it from one end of the court to the next and it goes in. And so I said to these young people sitting there, let's talk about this. What are the feelings you have? Well, anger at the referee for calling the traveling in the first place. Just this pit of your stomach pain because they won the championship and went on. You go home. Unfair. Devastation. Anger. I said, okay. Can any of you think about situations 20 or 30 years from now that might be similar in which you've got to wrestle with the same stuff? And so there were a couple of others. It's a young man sitting on a high school kid sitting in the second row. And he said, miscarriage. And for the first time in my life, I was speechless. But as I chatted with him, I recognized the fact that somewhere he never shared in depth with me, somewhere in his life, sister, aunt, mother, cousin, somebody, had a miscarriage. Now, I'm not going to try to draw too many lines, but if someone can go through an experience in a basketball game and look back and reflect upon that and can then somehow later on help that experience help them go through the process of miscarriage in their family, to me that's fairly powerful. And that's what we should be doing sports for. But what we have done instead is to shift our focus away from what can I learn about myself and about God and the world around me to what can I gain? What notoriety can I gain? What trophies can I get? Will they talk about my children and grandchildren as being the best? Are my children or grandchildren being selected for this premier team or this elite team? And so we've gotten the shift away from the focus of being, this is about me and how I should grow, to what can I gain from it, both as an individual player and what can I gain as parents. Somehow, we've gotten to the notion that if my children or my grandchildren are not good in sports, then I haven't been a very good parent or grandparent. And somehow that that has shifted away. Which takes me then to the first scripture that was read. We are not to be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, growing up, I heard a lot of nonconformity sermons. Most of them had to do with dress, money, business. No one ever talked about nonconformity in the world of sports. And I still don't hear it. Because we assume it's good. And it is. Until we shift our priorities away. And when we get the focus in a different direction than what it was intended for, then I think we are treading on dangerous ground. And we don't have to do anything other than, it says, be transformed by your minds. So we can actually be thinking about it. I know it says follow your heart. But here's one instance where I'd say, let's not follow our heart. Let's think through this. And let's say, why are we involved in this? Why are we involved in this? And you should be asking yourself the same question on a daily basis. What can I learn from today's experience where I'm at? A gentleman talked this morning in Sunday school about the ability as a business person to cross-train, to do something different. So that you have, there's all kinds of parallels that you can put in place here. But the question is, am I, as an administrator, using my experiences to be more patient, more godly, more understanding, have more love, have more joy? Any of the Christ-like characteristics that are there, are you using your experiences? Am I using my experiences to become more, to gain more of them, to be more effective, to be more productive? Too easily we shift our priorities away from what can we gain in godliness from this experience to what can I gain notoriety-wise, money-wise, earthly-wise. I trust that during our time of Advent, it will also give us another opportunity in which we can look back and say, what is the true purpose? What was the true purpose of the coming of Christ? And we can then say, what is the true purpose of what I'm doing? And keep our priorities on the fact that no matter what I do, I should be trying to gain Christ-like qualities in increasing measure, which will keep me from becoming ineffective and unproductive. Please join me in prayer. God, thanks for an opportunity to look into your scriptures today. We are grateful for your care and love for us, demonstrated by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us for those times when our focus has shifted away from what you have in store for us to what we can gain. May this time of Advent be one in which we once again focus on who you are, who your Son is, and how that intertwines with our own lives. And may we take this opportunity to also reflect upon our own lives, to say at the coming of the end of this calendar year, am I more joyful, patient, loving, caring, godly than I was a year ago? And can I use the experiences of today, tomorrow, and the coming weeks to gain more and more, to become more Christ-like, which is our goal. Amen.